Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We didn't stop working.
No, essential workers.
Our essential warriors. Yeah. Warriors on the front line. Our work actually doubled in most instances.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it hasn't stopped because, well, I suspect this is the new normal.
And I've been told that things like, you know, any sort of pizza, right? Fast food, for that matter, all of this kind of a thing. I've been told that their business has been doing so well.
they're putting other restaurants who don't have delivery systems out of business.
Right. And then there's the other side of that, too, which is there are many restaurants who used to have dine-in capability or still do have dine-in capability, but they just sort of closed their doors and went to, like, delivery or takeout only.
Or a tent.
Right. Or they put a tent up outside with a couple of tables.
Because for some reason, being in close proximity to your neighbor in this building is off limits.
Creating a new inside-outside
facility
makes it okay for you to dine in without mask. I don't understand the whole thing. But there's this whole other bit about, like, there's a chain restaurant here in Keene, New Hampshire, a town of, you know, less than 30,000 people,
23,000,
whatever it is. They closed.
I'm Khaleesi.
Mother of Dragons. Do you prefer Mother of Dragons or Queen of the Dothraki?
I kind of switch it up.
You switch it up to keep them on their toes.
The freer of slaves.
Yes, until she flipped and it was the killer of slaves and everyone else in the world. My name is Conan, by the way.
I was going to say, are you no longer Conan? Like, when did you change?
Mother of Dragons?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if I can call you that.
That's a lot, too. I don't have that much.
Is Khaleesi, is that Klingon? Is it like K'Aleesee or something like that? Khaleesi.
No apostrophes.
Kapla.
We have to. You have to put the emphasis, though.
Okay.
Khaleesi.
All right.
Great show.
Kind of afraid you're
going to
kick
my ass. Great show right up to season four. And that's where I lost it. By the way, that's basically where they started running out of content.
I binged watched the entire thing in like 3 weeks.
Ugh.
Just.
Wait. Was it 8 or 9 seasons?
I think it was 8. Eight seasons. I just powered through it.
Wow, that's rough.
Dedication.
That's definitely
rough.
Is
it weird that I don't know what either of you are talking
about?
You
don't know anything
never
that's fun.
It.
You don't play
about
games.
That's good.
All you know is music.
I have never watched one episode of Game of Thrones. I've seen screenshots of Game of Thrones only to show me the nakedness that occurs. We know that you are of the voluntarist, libertarian, anarchist type, freedom-minded person.
Yep.
And have been for quite some time, as I understand.
Yeah.
Is that right?
As long as I can remember.
As long as you can remember? Really?
Yeah, I remember being a little kid, actually, and just being like, I don't know, these government people just don't seem right. I just always knew there was something not right about the state and about people trying to rule over other people and, you know, taking control of them. I just always was unsettling to me. I never really...
My heart warms.
I always knew that. You know, because when you're a little kid, they try to feed you the BS that cops are good. And I just was like, no, I'm getting bad vibes from them. I don't buy it. And then
teachers are heroes. Law enforcement are heroes. Military are heroes.
No, I never bought into that. No.
This may not be similar, but when I was, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, 7, somewhere in that range, my grandparents on my natural father's side of the family, one was a Republican and one was a Democrat, and they were married, so that's weird. But like, it would be election season, you know, presidential election season, and they would, I don't want to say argue or get into a fight, but they would debate.
Yeah.
You know, like in front of everybody in the living room. Ian Freeman, the founder of Free Talk Live, right? Mark Edge, of course, the co-founder, has been on repeatedly and hosting remotely, et cetera, and so on. But Ian Freeman, who is still being held hostage...
For more than a month
by the terrorists calling themselves government agents, had a bail appeal hearing today in front of a judge who I got the impression might even be the judge, like if the case like gets to trial and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have no clue.
I got the impression that that may be the case. Callers, correct me if I'm wrong, at 603-283-6160 if you attended this online meeting. There was somewhere between 60 and 100 additional people attending this Zoom meeting because, you know, due to COVID, we can't have actual in-person hearings. So it's a kangaroo court no matter how you look at it. But there was a bunch. There was a bunch of people attending this thing. So much so that it was like a bad conference call at like your work. Yeah. Like, okay, can everybody please mute now? Somebody needs to mute. We hear some background noise from somebody. We're not sure who, but if you could just go ahead and make sure that you're muted. This is a court hearing, by the way. You know, just it was insane. But there is hope. In my opinion, and I'm saying opinion because I'm not an attorney, I don't know exactly what happened. I haven't talked to his legal defense team. He had a public defender whom was relieved of his duties at some point, and he has gained another attorney since then. So the rumor is, and I hate to spread rumors, but the rumor is that he got bad advice from his first attorney, his public defender. And his public defender didn't even seek a bail hearing. Like, his public defender was like, you wait until the bail hearing comes to you, which is not
really how that works.
It's not how it works, really. And so, yeah, so that's been changed. And so forthcoming will be a bail hearing for nobody. But as far as the Crypto Six is concerned, four of them are out on some sort of bail or bail conditions and that kind of thing. But Ian Freeman and nobody, formerly known as Rich Paul, remain hostage to these terrorists calling them the government. So Ian had his bail appeal hearing today, and I thought his lawyer kicked ass.
I did, too. He did really good.
He did an adequate job the previous time, but I think with the bail hearing, he was able to set some things straight, say some things, present some things that even the judge recognized were not presented previously, so new information.
My random topic for Free Talk Live tonight is about corpse laws.
Corpse, C-O-R-P-S-E?
Like a dead person.
So that's not a band?
No.
Ooh, now, so
that's
I'm just telling
good
you.
Name, by
yeah,
the way,
I'm just telling
laws.
You that as of the airing of this program right now, there's going to be like 10 bands calling themselves "We Are Corpse Laws." Thanks for coming out. Anyway, go ahead.
So I have a friend who is not long for this world because they have cancer and they are not expected to make it past a year or two.
Okay.
And I happen to collect oddities like skulls and those types of things. And so I've been looking into the legal aspects of my friend. I've been talking to my friend about taking their skull after they pass.
Okay.
And I was really surprised at how much red tape there was in like bequeathing your body parts to.
Do you have to get a license? That's my first thought. My first thought is the government says you have to have a license to have like human body parts as like, you know, some sort of.
You definitely have to fill out a form.
So how did you arrive at the decision to even like ask your friend if you could have, you know, this particular remnant of his body?
Well, he had posted something on Facebook about, he knows that he doesn't, he's not going to be here with us for very much longer. And I don't think that he knew, you know, because we're friends, but we're not super, super close. But I don't think that he understood that I really am a collector of skulls and eyeballs and other things of that nature. And I was like DMing him like, no, like I would be really honored to have your skull in my collection. And human skulls are very, very expensive if you're in the like, oddities communities. I have lots of skulls, but I don't have a human skull. And it would be really amazing to me to have a skull of somebody that I knew. So I submitted the question to the group and it was denied. And she was like, I'm just letting you know why your conversation was denied and we're not posting it. Mm-hmm. I'm writing about the question you submitted about your friend's skull. Unfortunately, it is not a legal option to gift your skull to someone after death. It is illegal in the United States due to "quote unquote" corpse abuse laws.
Abuse of corpse laws. Yep.
Yep.
And every state is different.
How sick are human beings that there's a law about corpse abuse?
Well, I mean, like, couldn't I just say what I want my skull done? Like in my will, right. I left my skull to my daughter.
Clamoring, you're a slave just like the rest of us.
I bequeath.
You can't do anything on your own. You
I bequeath my left hand to Bob Smith.
Meanwhile, it's perfectly legal to buy body parts. And it's like, well, where do they come from?
Wait, can I buy your friend and then sell you the body parts?
I know. Like, it's slavery.
Where does the end of my fingertips end? You know, like where do I stop having my own decision of my body?
Agreed.
Like, as soon as you move off this plantation and go find the free island out there that we're all allowed to do these things without having to ask permission. And I'm sure that island does exist, but it doesn't have water and or electricity, and it would really suck.
The other day, my stepdaughter came up to me and asked me how old I was when I got my first tattoo.
Do you have many tattoos?
A few. I'm hoping to get some more.
Okay.
How old is your stepdaughter?
Yeah, she's 14.
Okay. Ooh,
all right. I got my first tattoo.
I can see where this is going.
So what happened?
Yeah. And I told her, I was like, 20, 21. I don't really remember. And she's like, oh, well, because I kind of want to get one if that's okay. And honestly, I don't see a problem with that, and neither does her mother.
Is she expecting you to pay for it? Is she going to pay for it herself?
I think that would be front line on the table. Is guess what? All right, if we do agree to this, we are not paying for any of it. What job do you have that's going to pay for it?
Right, she would probably pay for it herself.
Probably.
Well, we wouldn't pay for it.
Okay. All right. So maybe she'd get money from, like,
be willing to pay for it herself. Yeah.
All right. So now, what was your response? Or were you tongue-tied?
I was. My response was, I'm not really sure where you could go to get one at your age.
Yeah, that's the big issue, the law.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I opted out of ever getting a tattoo because of a couple of reasons. I never could decide what I could live with for the rest of my life. And I never knew it. I've never met a tattoo artist that I'm an artist myself. I've never met another artist who I felt was competent enough to put something on me that I would be happy with. Or where I would want it. And Nikki, Khaleesi, you said you have a tattoo of sorts. Is that something we can talk about?
I gave myself, when I was 14 years old, I gave myself, I think, like 3 or 4 tattoos. They were all like needle and ink tattoos. And I don't regret anything.
Wait, you self-tattooed?
Yeah, I did.
I can see one of them.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, it looks now, very nice, as you can see.
Did you go and buy like professional supplies? Or did you
India ink and a sewing needle.
So you did like the jailhouse style almost.
Yeah,
okay.
Very poorly. I don't regret them. They're all covered up except for this one. But they weren't... Thinking back, I probably wouldn't have done it. You know, I don't regret them, but I wish I hadn't.
And you said 14.
Yeah, I was 14, 15, 16.
Considering the caller's predicament... If you were the stepdaughter question, would you rather, like, your parents be like, yeah, you can go and we'll take you to a professional and that kind of thing? Or would you rather be like, no, and then you'd have done it yourself?
Yeah, well, my advice to her is to just wait. It's just a few more years.
I just had a couple of questions before I get into the topic.
Sure.
Do you guys know what Maslow's hierarchy of needs is?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of three of us knows.
Remember the guy? What's that?
One out of three of us knows.
Okay. It's basically you need shelter, food, and water before you need, security.
Fun and games.
Self-actualization.
Television, prostitutes, cocaine, that type of thing.
Basically.
Yeah, and then comfort and self-fulfillment and all that.
Okay.
Any of you remember the guy from the early 2000s who was involved in the raw milk libertarian controversy?
Oh. I can't say I do.
Isn't that always? Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. It's not a new thing, but you're saying there was one here in this area?
I think he might have been New Hampshire, but in the early 2000s. Well, anyway, he started a website called farmmatch.com where you can shop directly with local farmers and just go on there, fill your shopping cart, and on the back end, a bunch of farmers are filling your order together. Or
that's awesome.
Place might be giving you meat and eggs or vegetables or whatever.
Yeah.
Over to your door.
This isn't Joe Salatin, is it? Because that's what he does with his, chickens and whatnot.
It says buy top-rated food from small farms and buying clubs. It's a pretty sparse page. There's a little YouTube video where you can watch the about, but it asks you to enter your zip code. And if you do, then you can choose a farm and you can order food directly from the farmers. This is great.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea because you know how many times I've tried to get local eggs or vegetables or whatever, and it's so hard to find people,
Eggs here.
Yeah.
I got too many.
Yeah. Well, now I got the plug.
We're going to talk.
You and Conander, you guys can figure out the egg exchange rate.
$3 a dozen. I'm cool.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
That's very fair. Are they sort of like when I buy farm fresh eggs? They usually put them in the used store carton. But then when I open them up, they're like a little tan, a little white, a little brown, a little that kind of thing.
And then you have your customers who think that if it's a brown egg, it must be free range or it must be organic or
not
whatever.
Really how it works.
It's not how it works, but. And then all the rules behind how you classify free range. I mean, I think that if they have like a foot by foot room to move, they can legally call it free range when it's like and all they're eating is processed food, and it's like the what they can get away with is not acceptable in my book.
I'm not a fan of Jodie Whittaker at all as an actress. I think she's actually a terrible actress. The best thing that I've seen her appear in was one episode of Black Mirror where she played the
bad guy,
the female who had cheated on her husband or whatever while he was off trying to find a new job as a lawyer or whatever. And it was the episode where they got to play back their memories.
Yes, good one.
Right? Good episode. I can't remember the name of it. She was in that as the wife, and that was her best role. As the doctor, I don't like her at all. My favorite new doctor, if you will, since the reboot, right? Because there was a little bit of time where the television series, didn't play.
Sat and festered.
Yeah, sat and festered. So my favorite new version of the doctor is Peter Capaldi. I think he knocked it out of the frickin' park. But that was also combined with a few co-stars that helped him shine. So, it's hard to say, who would win between the two of those, in my opinion. But I've totally stopped watching since Jodie Whittaker.
Believe it or not, I've never seen Doctor Who.
There you go.
That's fine.
Yep, that's my show. I've never seen.
I'm a science fiction television and movie fan. A lot of folks, when they start talking to me, they realize I'm into science fiction. And if they're into science fiction books, they will start asking me about books. And I'll have to explain to them, okay, look, man, I'm not that big of a reader. Well, anyway, I was telling you the how did I get into Doctor Who? I got grounded. And in my bedroom, I was afforded the luxury of one black and white television, less than 19 inches, right? And public PBS was doing their annual pledge drive, begging for money, right? Like, hey, if you support PBS, call in and pledge and blah, blah, blah. And so during this week that I was grounded for, they just happened to be playing a marathon of Doctor Who. So while I was grounded in my room for a week, I got to watch Tom Baker era Doctor Who for the entire week. And, like, it was stuff where, like, I could have created the special effects. I could have grabbed some tinfoil and cardboard and paper mache and some duct tape and, like, made, like, some of these creatures and costumes and that kind of thing myself, even at my age, which was, I don't know, 10 or something at this time.
So what you're saying is it's horrible.
What I'm saying is that it was outdated even when I got into it, right? Because it was probably like 82 or something by the time I got into it. But, like, Tom Baker era Doctor Who, I think, was 78, if I'm not mistaken. So it was old even by those standards. But, like, my parents grounded me. I had nothing better to do than to watch my black and white television. And I'm not going to watch, like, regular terrestrial CBS, ABC, and NBC because that sucks.
I have a technique. And this was, I'm not sure you can get away with doing this in New Hampshire because we don't have as many ants as we do, say, in Florida where I grew up.
Oh, dude, I had ants in my kitchen.
If you
just
want
the other
to
day.
Clean a skull in a matter of a week,
oh yeah,
you go find yourself a big mountain of black ants, and you just pop that bad boy on there, and in a matter of a week, it's
that's clean. The secret.
Clean. Oh, and that's number one secret to getting it clean. Number two secret is to sun bleach it.
So I did something similar, except I was a commercial fisherman and we fished for shark. And I had this set of shark jaws with which I could use as like a hula hoop and step through.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to keep them as a souvenir, which I did for a while. And eventually I got rid of them. But what we did, we were in shallow waters anyway, because that's where sharks like to hang out. What you do is you just drop a piece of monofilament, tie it to the boat so that the jaws themselves sit on the floor, if you will, the ground in the water, in your shallow water.
All the little bugaboos.
And all the little bugaboos, the critters and whatever, they come over. And like the next day you reel that thing back up. It's gleaming. It's like,
isn't nature neat?
You know, it's like, you know, effordant clean. You know what I mean? Like you dropped a set of shark dentures down there, you know, and it bubbled up and like it came up. Bing.
Did you know it's just horrible when we think that some sorcerer in a magic black dress can throw out some breadcrumbs.
Are you talking about maybe a particular judge or a lot of them that dictate
the ones that we're talking about today?
Yeah.
The people that go, oh, well, I, in my great majesty sitting on high.
Judged solely by me and my vast expertise in the area of law. Yeah, no, I know.
But I mean, that's a human thing. There are too many out there that love it. They love to have someone tell them how to live.
Absolutely.
And to punish people who step out of line. There are too many people out there who are in favor of this type of this situation that we're currently in. And how do we get out of that? I can tell you it starts at the beginning, and that is the school system that teaches us to, you know, walk in line and raise your hand if you want to be heard.
Jet, go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to talk about today was the tax terrorism season. We're about 1 week away.
Ooh.
from this new deadline where the I remember back when Obama was present, there was this sign on a mailbox that said, "It's that time. Give me your money, bitches." The politicians tell us that they exist to do the will of the people, right?
Yeah, that's what Biden said last week. He says the people are government, right?
Well, whatever it is, I want to know who these people are who voted to be taxed.
Good slaves.
I mean, I'm serious. Who is it that you know who wants to be taxed?
Yeah, everybody I talk to, if I go, hey, if you didn't have to pay taxes, would you? They'd be like, no.
But then in the same sentence, they reply to you, but who's going to pay for the roads? Who's going to pay?
Oh, yeah, always the roads.
Who's going to pay for the schools and the courts and the police? Well, actually, that's kind of an argument that's lost a lot of steam.
I got into an argument with a guy about, do you want just crap everywhere because the state and the city own the sewage systems?
Like San Francisco?
And if you didn't have taxation, you would just have your toilets flowing right into the streets.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah, no.
Wow.
There's something called a septic system.
Go ahead, Jet.
Captain, last night you were talking about how voting in and of itself is really stupid. I mean, the whole idea, especially 50-50, right, or the 49-50.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Not to me.
Who came up with this idea, and who is going to agree, and why do we agree to the idea that, let's say, 6 out of 10 or 5 out of 9 or whatever people get to decide whatever?
Well, when it comes to the issue of taxation, it gives the appearance that when Wall Street got its bailout of almost $20 trillion last year, it's like that's supposed to come out of your taxes, and then they did another buildup of $20 billion for the war machine.
But keep in mind, not our taxes, our grandchildren's taxes.
Right. And it makes the point that you could keep this debt going, because the reason is, if let's say you're in charge of the Federal Reserve and you're spitting out this monopoly money.
Mm-hmm.
Churning.
Money printer, right.
Exactly.
The only thing you would probably be concerned about is that when the money, the fake money, gets spit out and goes into circulation, and because of the trust factors involved with that circulation, when it comes back to paying some amount of money to the interest rate on the debt, that should be good enough for you.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.